You are listening to the Place Press podcast with a special mini-series on city identities, an exhibition about the visual identities of cities at Ground Floor Space in London. In this podcast series, we've been looking at civic and tourism branding of cities. But what about how cities express their identities for a finite period of time, like during the Olympics? There's no one more qualified to speak about the branding of the Olympic Games than Olympic design historian Markus Osterwalder. Since the early 1990s, he studied every facet of the Olympics, from official emblems to mascots, to souvenir programs and medals. He recently curated an exhibition for the Olympic Museum in Lausanne called The Look of the Games. If you look at the last century of Olympic ephemera, it's a bit like studying the history of graphic design. You can see how different movements like Bauhaus, op art, and minimalism influenced Olympic logos, and how certain patterns and trends emerge and fade away over the years. But forming a design aesthetic for the Olympics is more than just simply designing an emblem, pictograms, and torches. It's about transforming the city in a way that's impactful for the athletics, reporters, and politicians on the ground, and as well for the viewers tuned in from all over the world. So what makes a successful Olympics design? As Markus explains, it's about creating the look of the games that reflects the heritage of the country.
You mentioned at the beginning the emblem is very important. Of course it is important, but this is very a little part of the whole thing. We don't see the logo in a huge scale in the cities, so it don't influence really the global look of a city. The global impact is the look of the games. Because the look of the games is in huge surfaces full of them, and then there are two different kinds. There are look of the games there where you see them, and it could be replaced to any other city. It is not a reflection of the heritage of this proper country or this certain culture. And sometimes it really reflects what this country is, the essence of the country. And these are the successful games, in my opinion, in visual aspects. When you present your country, the flavor, the colors, the feeling of what this country gives to the spectators everywhere in the city, then you reach the goal, in my opinion. But when you have filled the whole city full of bright colors, and that's it, I will say, like London, for example, in 2012, then you do not fulfill this goal, in my opinion.
I asked Markus to pick what he believes are some of the best designs since the modern Olympics launched in 1896. First up, Tokyo 1964, which changed the entire look of the Olympics.
Tokyo 64 was the beginning of, I will call it, the new graphics on the Olympics. Everything before, like Rome, that used also something about their heritage or all the traditions before, it was another style. And 64, you have to know, in Japan, minimalism, they had a new generation of great graphic designers in Japan. And all this, they wanted to bring the basics and the minimum that is needed to understand the message. So Tokyo had, in my opinion, one of the best ever modern logos. You have the rising sun, the red dot that is in the Japanese flag and represents Japan. Then you have the rings that represents the event, and then you have Tokyo, the city, and the 1964, the year. And nothing else is there on the emblem. Mm-hmm. So it's reduced to the max, I would say that.
Another of Markus's favorite designs are the 1968 Summer Games in Mexico City. It's also one of the favorites of many of us here at Place Press. Since it was the first time a Latin American country had ever hosted the Games, Mexico City took the opportunity to show the world that it was a sophisticated metropolis, cosmopolitan and modern. The logo was designed by American designer Lance Wyman, with its concentric lines radiating out from the words Mexico 68, the iconic logo was inspired by traditional pre-Columbian craft and op art.
And the first was the emblem. And when You have to know in the 60s that op art was very popular everywhere around the world. So black and white lines, and this also influenced. And another influence was the Huichol arts. It's an art craft from Mexican Indians. Mm-hmm. They do art crafts with very thin lines on, and they glue it together, and they radiate the lines in many very colorful ways. And these two things, the op art and the Huichol art, they became really the first idea to radiate the lines, first the rings with the 68, then mm-hmm. the radiated line, then continuing adding Mexico as the name. And this became really the identity of the city. This was the basic idea. This was at very first beginning. And then they started doing the pictograms and the typeface in the same style, and every become to have a shade in the same style. What they wanted is really bring Mexico, their strong heritage, that is as same strong as the Greeks or the Romans or other cultures had, but no one knew that in the world. So this was really the opportunity to present Mexico in a modern, capable way, that they are able to do modern Olympics as well as other countries that did so far.
Otto Eicher was tasked with designing the 1972 Summer Olympics in Munich. He designed the iconic wayfinding pictograms, the abstract logo of the interlinked Olympic rings merged into a spiral shape, and the first ever Olympic mascot, a striped sausage dog named Valdi. The very colorful games, known as the Rainbow Games, were a conscious response and differentiation to the Berlin Games of 1936.
Munich is done in a grid. This is very symbolically. Everything has a meaning, everything has a system, everything is done by purpose. They have the first really useful design manual. They give rules about how to use things. They only use 7 very strong colors. They didn't want to use red, gold, and black because these were the colors of the Berlin Games, and they wanted to give a completely new image of the Germany in the 70s, and nothing that reminds you to the time from the Hitler's time and the games in 36. So Munich was really remarkable. Also, the pictogram system that is still in use today, and is based on the pictograms on Tokyo 64.
According to Marcus, one of the most successful Olympic design programs is the Winter 1994 Games in Lillehammer. Here's Marcus explaining the significance of its abstract logo.
Lillehammer had their first impact in environmental aspects. This was the first Games. They banned all synthetic materials. So everything was stone, metal, glass, wood. And this was one of the basic messages. The heritage, the environmentals of the country, and the relation between people and environments and the nature. The idea from the logo was the Northern Light. The Northern Light, you need know this phenomenon in the North Pole, where you in the darkness you see this light moving around, and it gives a beautiful impression about this. And that was also the BIT logo, and that was one of the goals at the beginning when they started the young team of 4 designers to put this emblem in a modern way and to continue using it and not to invent a new one for the games itself. So that was one. Then they had to bring, you know, this crystal pattern between the emblem and the rings, because the rings had to stand on a white background. So, and the emblem has to be on the dark background because this happens at night. So they had to need something in between, and that was the invention of the crystal pattern. And this crystal pattern is invented or was influenced by the structure of stone, of ice, and of crystal.
What would a retrospective on Olympic design be without a look at the 2012 London Games, which had one of the most controversial logos in history? Some people thought it looked like a swastika, while others were simply just repulsed by the garish colors. The Wolf Olin's creation was meant to reflect the bold, edgy nature of London, but the backlash from citizens and designers was fierce.
Because the emblem was so discussed when they came out, and no one understood really the emblem, I think the designers were much far ahead than the audience was. And so because they didn't understand the emblem, it was rejected from almost everyone.
This certainly isn't an exhaustive list of Olympic design highlights. At our exhibition, we also show the Stars in Motion logo of the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics. It's a great piece of 80s graphics, all red, white, and blue, a shooting star meets star-spangled banner. The 1984 Olympics were boycotted by 14 Soviet states, a response to the boycotted Moscow Games of 1980. The accompanying graphics by Deborah Sussman, vibrant pops of red, turquoise, and orange, and blue, took over the city. As Sussman said about her lauded designs, when you're dealing with the Olympics, you are dealing with everyone in the world. Special thanks to Samantha Edwards, who helped with editorial direction, and Fina Charlson for editing this, and to Marcus Ostervalde. Thank you for speaking with us. Our music is by Giacomo Travelli of Lost Machines. This was City Identities, a podcast series by Place Press. You can find Place Press on Twitter and Instagram at placepress_ and online at placepress.com.